And good afternoon, everybody. My name's John Thomas Hill, as you could probably tell by the title of this podcast, but in case you didn't know that, it's my name. Okay. In previous podcasts, I've been talking about doing a podcast on the media, and since I just got done talking about the police and the current situation we have with police relations with the communities they serve, I decided to go ahead and talk about the media. The media is not this gigantically huge monstrosity that right-wing political pundits, if I can actually say it right, conservative political pundits like to claim that it is, or some people who are on the Trump train, so to speak, like to claim it is. It's very complex. To them, the MAGA crowd, they like to thank CBS, NBC, ABC, CNN, and all these other quote-unquote liberal news organizations are all on the same page concocting things to bash Trump or whatever flavor of the day Republican, conservative politician they are. It's kind of weird when they make this argument, because it's like saying in the NFC East of the National Football League, Washington, Philadelphia, and the New York Giants are all ganging up against Dallas Cowboys. Are not the Redskins, the Washington Redskins, I hate using that name because of its obvious connotations, Philadelphia Eagles and the New York Giants are all rivals. You know, they all want to make the playoffs. They all want to win the Super Bowl. Why would they gang up together working in common cause to beat the Dallas Cowboys? Not that some of us wouldn't think that would be a good idea, because I don't particularly care for the Dallas Cowboys, as many people do. They're quite divisive. You either love them or you loathe them, which I loathe them. You have diverse media groups on television and radio, especially on the internet and newspapers, but really, there's only six major media corporations, and one of them is News Corp, owned by Rupert Murdoch, who owns Fox News. And Sinclair Broadcasting is the other one. Another one. And they're conservative. They run, I think if I'm not mistaken, they have the most television stations. They own the most television stations across the country, which I will get to in just a moment, because I think that's not a good idea that we have all these huge, gigantic corporations owning huge chunks of television stations across the country. Many, many moons ago, 30-some-odd years ago, I was a young, ruggedly handsome freshman at Isothermal Community College studying in what was then known as Radio TV Broadcast Production Technology, which is now known as Broadcast Production Technology. They got rid of the Radio TV part, which is still there. It's more diverse these days. I took a class called Broadcast Journalism, and one of our assignments was to actually study and time out a newscast. And this particular one was on WBTV. I can't remember the exact date or everything they covered, but I remember it was WBTV. And it got me to really start, since we have YouTube now, it got me started looking at newscast past and present. Do yourself a favor one time. If you're so hell bent for leather, I'll get the phrase right in a minute, about the media being bad, think about this for a moment. Go to YouTube and look up a newscast from the 1970s. Do two or three just to be sure. One from, say, New York or LA, one from a mid-major market like Cincinnati, and one from, say, a southern city like Charlotte, if you can find it, or Atlanta or something like that. And then compare it to the broadcast of, say, the 1990s. And then compare it to the broadcast we see today. You're going to notice something. You're going to notice you'll get less news or less meat and potatoes and more sizzle. There's a reason for that. The reason existed in the 70s, it just wasn't as well exploited as it is today. local news operations are the most watched part of any television station across this country. Even more so than network television broadcast, because we all got to know the weather, and not everybody's going to look at their phone and have a weather app, and not everybody's going to have their local newspaper on their phone or whatever, or tablet or whatever. So they still watch the local news. It still gets a ton of ratings, and that's very attractive for advertisers, because advertisers want to get to an audience with the most people in it. It's as old as broadcasting itself. Broadcasting this makes me no money, except for whatever little blurbs they put in here or whatever. I don't know exactly if they put ads in here or if they put ads at the beginning of it. But that's how they make their money. On the internet, they make the money through ad clicks or, you know, it's very complicated, but every bit of internet coverage, podcast coverage, audio, radio coverage, video coverage, newspaper, magazine coverage, makes their money through one thing primarily. And it's not subscribers. Unless you're premium content like HBO, Showtime, whatnot, or a streaming service like Netflix, Hulu, and whatnot. It's advertising. And news departments, that's pretty much how they make their money exclusively, unless you're newspapers and magazines, and then you've got your firewalls online, or you've got your print operations and whatnot. Advertisers want to reach the largest audience they possibly can. That means advertisers have a very surprisingly influential power over what programs are shown and what stories can be run. Now, it's not a matter of the local used car dealer getting upset at a story on the newspaper and he's going to pull his ads. It's more sinister than that. It's big corporations talking to big media companies who say, you do this story and we're going to leave you, leaving you short millions of dollars. And that's going to look bad on your bottom line to your shareholders, who in some cases have stock in each. The problem when you have gigantic media corporations is that they tend to think more about the business side of things than the journalistic side of things. Do yourself a favor, I'll use that phrase a lot, and watch the movie Network. You can rent it online. I believe HBO Max, if you have it, has it now. You can rent it online, at Google Play or wherever. You can find it somewhere. It's a little hard to find. You probably won't find it in your local DVD store if you find one at a DVD store. If you have a DVD store in your area, we've got two left. But you can find it online, and you should be able to watch it. And what you'll find is this movie, which was made almost 45 years ago, has a lot of connotations today, because the business side of things got in the way of the news-making side of things. And this corroded away journalistic integrity over time. Back in the 60s and 70s, Walter Cronkite was the most trusted man in America. If Walter Cronkite said it was a bad thing, it was a bad thing. Today, if Norah O'Donnell, who anchors the same program Walter Cronkite anchored 40 years ago now, Norah O'Donnell says something's a bad thing, you're going to have a lot of pundits who go, oh, it's a good thing. Norah O'Donnell is just a liberal hack who don't know what she's talking about and all that. The biggest difference between 40 years ago and today is that there's a lot more voices out there. And in theory, that should be a good thing. But in reality, it's not so much, because they're not as diverse. Let me take you back to 1987. when the Reagan administration lobbied the FCC to repeal something called the Fairness Doctrine. And the Fairness Doctrine, in layman's terms, basically means if you run a story on your local newscast or public affairs program, you have to present all sides of an issue. That's being, quote, fair, unquote. Well, for a long period of time, certain media groups, most of them leaning right wing, although not all of them, there were some left-wing groups lobbying for this as well, who wanted to have that yanked. The reason for it is that instead of talking about the facts as they are, they wanted to talk about the facts as they want them to be. Go back to 1985. Rupert Murdoch, the Australian tabloid publisher himself, who had gotten into England and ran papers, and I use that term loosely, like The Sun and now departed Weekly World News is a tabloid. It actually doesn't pretend to be a tabloid. It's so outrageous, you can only a fool would actually believe what's in it. Whereas The Sun and the News of the World are tabloids that sadly have too many people believing what they actually print is the absolute gospel truth. And I'll get to that one of these days, maybe in this podcast, I'm not sure. But Rupert Murdoch bought Fox Studios. Fox, up to that point, had just been a movie studio. And he also bought Metro Media, which owned stations in large markets and some mid-markets. His idea was to create the Fox Network. Now, for those of us of a certain age, we remember 1986 when it launched. It had two shows, Married with Children and The Tracy Ullman Show. That was it. Then it grew to be a couple hours programming on Saturday, a couple hours programming on Sunday, to where it is now. You have all throughout the week, 7 days, 2 hours a night, 3 hours a night on Sunday. They did this because, A, they didn't have to spend as much money on a 10 o'clock TV show, and it would also give the stations there an opportunity to have a 10 o'clock newscast on the East Coast. And for those of you wondering why, you know, in the Central Time Zone, we've always had 10 o'clock newscasts. Well, this is an East Coast podcast, okay? Not that you can't listen to it in the Central Time Zone. Go right ahead and listen to it all you want to. But you get my point. You can get your local news an hour earlier, which gives you an advantage because it means that instead of watching whatever dramas on ABC, NBC, or CBS, and you want to know what the weather's like for tomorrow, and you don't want to stay up till 11 o'clock, guess what? You can watch it on 10 o'clock. Rupert Murdoch is a very ambitious man. But he's also a very, shall we say, not scrupulous. His tabloids have been known for outright lying, smearing people, distorting facts for generations. He started in Australia, moved over to England, and now is here in the United States and other countries in the world. He's not about pure, unadulterated journalism. He's about making money. He's about high subscription rates, high advertising rates, and making money. Profit motive. And if it means doing sensationalism, or what they used to call yellow journalism, distorting the facts to make people go, ooh, look at this, Barack Obama stabs babies with a knife because it makes Michelle Obama want to sleep with him more. He believes a certain segment of the population will read that story, even though it is unequivocally false. Now, he's not the only one. There are others who wanted to slant the news in their direction because they perceived that the news was slanted in another direction. They perceived it being slanted in a liberal direction. Let me tell you how that came about. Where do you think all the news networks are located? You probably answered one or two cities, New York or Washington. And you would be right, because generally they're out of New York, but they always have a bureau in Washington. New York City is the largest city in the United States. And throughout history, large cities tend to have more liberal-leaning populations in general. That means everybody's a liberal in New York. Than in the more rural areas, the more lesser populated areas. You know, throughout history and throughout, regardless of how, of religion and all of this, ethnic group, what is, every, you go to Iran right now, you go to the countryside, they're going to be very conservative. Persia, and the Persians in Tehran, they're more liberal. They actually like us to a certain degree. They remember the old days before the Shah got overthrown. Okay. So when you have the bulk of your national news coming out of one location, they're going to attract graduates generally in that area, the Ivy League schools, NYU, Syracuse, what have you. They're going to have a certain understanding of the world. Okay? Now, granted, that doesn't mean that everybody on the TV is going to be from the Northeast. Walter Cronkite, he was from Missouri, if I'm not mistaken. Dan Rather was from Texas. Tom Brokaw is from South Dakota. Peter Jennings was from Canada. I can't exactly remember Canada. I think it's Ontario. I may be mistaken about that. So many of these major newscasters of the past, revered in many cases, some more than others, didn't necessarily come from New York. In some cases, were not educated in New York, but they moved to New York, and many of their producers, people that worked for them, were educated in that area. And that's not saying liberalism is a bad thing or not. It's just a different philosophy. But when you're around like-minded people, you tend to view the world in that particular way. That was my computer, by the way, doing that. I should have muted it. My bad. You view things in a particular way. You're not trying to distort the bulk of the facts. Because general news, up until, say, the 80s when CNN came along, and this wasn't, CNN originally didn't start doing this, but it was because competition started becoming even more fiercer. Competition is part of the problem here. Not that this is necessarily a bad thing, but it can be a bad thing if it's left unchecked, and I'll get to that in a moment. But these are, but basically, if you watched the news up until 1980 or so, your local newscast tended to have a very regional aspect to it, but generally just told you the facts. It's the Joe Friday, just the facts, and just mainly local stories. Up until 1980, when CNN came along, you got your news at 6 and 11 generally. Maybe you had a 12 o'clock newscast. Maybe you were lucky and you had a morning newscast. Not every television station in every market had that. Our markets tended to have a 6 and 11. That's pretty much broad across the board. Note I didn't say anything about 4 or 5 or 4:30 or 5:30 or 6:30 or 7 or what have you. You got your news a half hour a night at 6 and 11. 1 hour news. And if you missed out on the 11 o'clock news, you had to wait until the next evening to get it, unless you read a newspaper or listened to it on the radio. Then CNN came along. Now, I'm not going to sit here and bash CNN, at least for right now, because for the first roughly 15 years of their existence, they were exactly what Ted Turner wanted it to be. A global news network that told stories across the board and all of that. That was what their whole thing was. And there's a particular moment in time when that changed. And I'll get to that in a moment. But what CNN unleashed was what was called the 24/7 news cycle. And it meant that politicians had to be even more on guard. Before, if a story came out that the president didn't particularly like, he had some time to for his staff to deal with it. He had, let's say, a story broke at, say, 8 o'clock at night. The national news television, national news shows on the broadcast networks would not be back on until the morning time. Some, like Good Morning America or Today Show or whatever CBS had on. CBS has not had the best of luck in morning shows. And even if you didn't watch that, you know, the newspapers would not publish, you would not get your newspaper until the morning time. So they had plenty of time to deal with this. So they could formulate how they were going to respond to it. Then CNN comes along. Let's say the local, your local national news goes off the air at 7:30, where you're at. And at 7:35, there's a major scandal that breaks involving a member of the administration. The president's got to sack this particular cabinet secretary for something very egregious. But this particular cabinet secretary is very popular with the people, and firing them would make the president's election prospects a lot less in certain key states that lean his way politically. Before, you would have time, if you're a president, to spin this in a way that would make you look good. Spin's always been there, folks. It didn't start with Bill Clinton. It's been around for a long time. It's probably old as journalism itself, you know. Journalism reporters go find out about a story about a particular agency. That agency is going to have somebody that wants to make the agency look good. It's that simple. What CNN did, it sped everything up. Not necessarily intentionally, because Ted Turner wanted the people to be more informed and get more in depth with stories. And initially, his idea worked. Then came the O.J. Simpson trial. And for those of us of a certain age who've been studying media, this was sort of the turning point. Wasn't the exact turning point, but it was the turning point. Up until that time, you had major news stories like the Gulf War, the fall of the Berlin Wall, the Tiananmen Square massacre, natural disasters that would dominate the news for a short period of time. The one story I remember as a kid that dominated for months on end was the Iran hostage crisis. And this is before CNN was even launched. It actually launched during the Iran hostage crisis. But the O.J. Simpson trial brought about sensationalistic journalism. Do you even know if he's guilty or not? Do we even know anymore? Do we even care? Because to me, the crazy thing is, it changed everything because it made it to where the story itself was the story. The coverage of the story was the story. It's not the first trial that's been sensationalized and all this, but this was the first trial on 24/7 media. The Sam Shepard trial in the 60s was like that for the newspapers. There were other trials in the 80s, Klaus von Bülow and others, that had network newscasts dominated for a while there. But it changed the way we looked at the news. Instead of giving us a lot of different stories, CNN was dominated by O.J. Simpson. It didn't matter what was going on in Yugoslavia or Rwanda or Haiti or anywhere else. It was O.J. Simpson 24/7 because that's what the people wanted. And that if the people want O.J. Simpson, the advertisers want O.J. Simpson. This didn't go unnoticed. Mr. Murdoch looked at this and said, I could put my own news network on it too. And not only that, I can put my own spin on the news. He's a tabloid guy. He wants to sell newspapers, but he also has a particular viewpoint that he understands could be exploited in middle America. Just like Rush Limbaugh. And for those of you who say Rush Limbaugh's the greatest thing ever in radio and all of this, don't realize he is the political equivalent of Howard Stern. Meaning, he is a hack. Howard Stern wants to present himself as something totally different in his real life than he is on the radio. Rush Limbaugh does not believe in everything he preaches on his show. He is someone that he is a character on his show. And he espouses his viewpoint. He probably even believes it now, but back when he started out, he didn't necessarily believe it. Because up until that fairness doctrine had gone away, he was just a guy in Sacramento on the radio doing a talk show. Once it got away, he could slant his show his way and get away with it. Because instead of presenting it as a commentary show, he could present it as a, quote, news show. Let me tell you something funny. Well, not really, but it's kind of funny to me. Did you know Fox News Channel is not classified officially and legally as a news channel? It's classified as an entertainment channel. You want to know why that is? Because if they get sued for lying, they're not going to be under the same restrictions as a news channel would be for libel and slander. Because they didn't register as a news channel, they are considered to be, even by themselves and in the legal community, as an entertainment channel. Isn't that funny? That the most watched news network isn't actually considered by the company that owns it a news network. Meaning they don't have to hold up the standards. Now, there are people who there at Fox News who are doing actual journalism and not necessarily slanting it. In some cases, they may be putting it in a way that they're told to by their producers, but they're trying to at least uphold some things. But you get to the evenings. Hang on. I thought that was somebody coming up the driveway. Get to the evenings. Up until the beginning of Fox News, CNN had a new show at 8, Larry King doing a softball interview at 9, and then news at 10. Fox comes along, opinion show, opinion show, opinion show. That gets more ratings. People didn't want to watch the same rehash of the news they've been hearing about all day. They just want to watch opinion shows that tend to lean the way they already think. Rupert Murdoch knows that most of the people in the so-called flyover states don't think the same way as New York and Los Angeles and Chicago. So he decides to exploit that and decides to launch his own news network, which is, so quote, fair and balanced. If it's fair and balanced, why is it considered an entertainment network? But I digress. This got noticed. Sinclair Broadcasting comes along. They have a particular politically ideological slant. They start buying up stations. And it's very possible one of the stations in your market is owned by Sinclair. One of the stations are. Here's an indicator. Go through your TV guide. If they have Ring of Honor Wrestling, chances are that's a Sinclair station. The reason I bring that up is Sinclair is notorious for slanting the news toward the more conservative viewpoint. Now, here, let me give you the difference. every reporter that's ever lived has had a bias. It's natural. It's like with us. We view the world the way, through our own experiences. Some people's biases are left. Some people's biases are right. Some people's biases go all over the place, like with me. Some issues I'm left wing. Some issues I'm right wing, but tend to go around the center in my politics. There's a big difference between news reporting and commentating. And that has been so blurred lately. You go to MSNBC, you see in the primetime news, primetime lineup, opinion show, opinion show, opinion show, commentary, commentary, commentary. You're not seeing hard news anymore. It's all opinion. And what opinion you like, you watch that show. Tucker Carlson, Sean Hannity on Fox. If you like their opinion, you watch their show. If you like Rachel Maddow and Lawrence O'Donnell's opinions on MSNBC, you watch their show. Anderson Cooper, Chris Cuomo, Don Lemon on CNN. The reason those shows are there and not some hard news shows by a couple of anchors is telling you the news, having a weather segment, a sports segment, an entertainment segment, is because of ratings. O.J. Simpson trial generated the highest ratings in cable and satellite television history for CNN. That got noticed. When the Lewinsky scandal struck 4 years later with President Clinton on the brink of losing his presidency, gigantic ratings. Wall-to-wall coverage because it made money. People didn't want to hear about Bosnia or Timothy McVeigh or some economic story or anything else. They wanted to hear about how President Clinton got in trouble for having an affair with Monica Lewinsky. Gossip. They wanted all the juicy details. And that changed the media forever. Those two news stories, O.J. Simpson, Monica Lewinsky, changed the whole media landscape forever. It changed it for the worst. It's not blaming O.J. Simpson or Monica Lewinsky or those involved in that particular story. It's how the story was covered. And advertisers noticed and they said, hey, instead of doing a bunch of different stories that people may tune out, because around the same time, the networks and the advertisers were able to look at ratings at 15-minute increments, and even now they can do it even closer than that. They can tell what stories are being watched more than others. It's shocking. It really, truly is. And it's all about bringing in that profit. And now you've got the internet coming along in the 90s. If I had wanted to do this 30 years ago, I'd had to buy a radio station. I would have had to buy an FCC license, a transmitter, and all this to do what I'm doing right now. Or get hired on somewhere, and I'd have to be working for someone who would tell me what I was supposed to talk about. And if I wanted to get advertisers, I'd have to be careful about what I talked about, because if they didn't like what I talked about, they could leave. Now, my opinions tend to be generally down the middle, leaning a little left, occasionally to the right, but generally right in the middle. I'm not highly controversial or anything like that. I may have a few opinions that you might consider somewhat controversial, but not generally. I tend to view myself as pretty mainstream. Most of what I say is established fact. You pretty much know it to begin with. And there's stuff you could fact check pretty easily. And I do as good of a job as I can to make sure. And if I'm not quite right, I will be more than happy to correct the record. Then you've got people on both the left and the right, but especially the right. And I'll tell you why that is in just a moment. That have used the internet to promote their agendas. Now you're asking, why did you say mostly the right? Because there's money to be made. The perception by the left and the right is that the mainstream media is liberal leaning. even though in most parts it's not really. Their opinion pieces generally tend to be, but when it comes to the actual meat and potato stories, not really. But the perception is there, not just among conservatives in the Midwest and South and West, but even among liberals in the big cities. It's there. So liberal activist groups aren't necessarily hopping on the bandwagon to get in the media, and they're not able to pull in this kind of audience as the so-called disaffected flyover states that seem to be unrepresented in national media. This has been exploited by people like Rush Limbaugh, Sean Hannity, and a plethora of others, as well as Rupert Murdoch, Bill O'Reilly, and a bunch of others. Why? Because it's all about making money. Some may actually legitimately view what they say as being gospel truth. But in Tucker Carlson's case, he's got a track record. Do yourself a favor. Tucker Carlson used to run a show on MSNBC. The clips may be on YouTube. I got to do this myself one day. Compare what he used to say, and before that when he was on PBS, and when back when he was on CNN Crossfire, about 12-some-odd years ago. Compare that, well, maybe longer than that. I think he was on CNN before he moved to MSNBC. I'd have to check that. But Tucker Carlson's opinions were generally middle of the road, leaning conservative, but not outrageously far right wing as he's espousing now. Why is that? Who signs his paychecks? It makes the money. Because people in America distrust authority. It's ingrained in them to distrust authority. Okay? It's part of our culture. We don't trust the government. We don't trust big business. We don't trust the big man, whatever you want to call it. The man, not Becky Lynch, but from WWE, but the man as in the man looking, you know, big brother, whatever. It wasn't that hard to convince people that the establishment media is out to get you, that they don't have your best interest in mind. And this was something that slowly over the course of time eroded away journalistic integrity to the point, because it wasn't because people were lying about stuff. This has happened. People flub stories and such to improve their profile and all this. It rarely happens, but it does. It happens enough to where there was enough of a crack in there for these people to wedge themselves. It's not about political ideology, folks, not so much, as much as it is about profit. Because as much as the disaffected people in the South and Midwest and West like to think, oh, we're not being represented by California and New York, have you looked at the populations? There are more people in the so-called, quote-unquote, heartland of America than in Los Angeles and New York combined. But it's been exploited by the right wing. And as we've shifted the political spectrum further and further to the right in this country, to where we have Trump now, we're seeing the demonization of the media by Trump and others because it's an old trick that, for the most part, works for them. Because they don't want to be held accountable for their actions. And they have people like Limbaugh, like Carlson, like Hannity, who will not hold them accountable. Occasionally they will, because they'll know, hey, things gone too far. We got to stand up for our phony baloney jobs and not just being seen as sycophants. So occasionally Tucker Carlson will dare to criticize Trump, or even Hannity might do it. Where's the power of this media right now? The number one news network's Fox News. But yet the media is the enemy. If they're the enemy, then why is Fox News number one? Because they know how to manipulate people. CNN knows how to manipulate people. They used to not. But now it's all opinion shows in prime time, and in some cases it's during the day. Meat and potatoes news is hard to come by. You've got plenty of apps will say, we give you the news as it is, just the facts, blah, blah, blah. But how do you even know anymore? The media has been corrupted by greed, just like a plenty of other institutions across this country have been corrupted by greed. As much as we like to deny ourselves that basic fact, it's the truth. Greed corrupts everything. Money is the root of all evil. It's true. And the evil here is distorting the facts so that the powerful stay in power. And they can be manipulated by saying, oh, you don't have to believe this because Rush Limbaugh says it's not real, or Sean Hannity says it's fake news, or Tucker Carlson says it's not right. We're going to get back on this topic very soon. And the right wing is more at fault than the left wing, but the left wing does have its issues. Maddow, I have issues with her because she's just a commentator that's turned into an anchor woman. And I'll get to that. I think next week we'll do that. We'll talk about this because it needs to be talked about, folks. The media is not your friend, but it's not your enemy either. It's its own beast, a very complicated beast of contentious factions that try to tell you the truth, but in reality, it's like Rashomon, different sides of it. Some cases, not the truth at all. Some cases, only parts, bits and pieces of it. Some big chunks, but not entirely the truth. Understanding is a three-edged sword. Your side, their side, and the truth. The problem is the modern-day media has made that three-edged sword into many more edges. And I'll leave you with that thought. For now, it's adios. Good night, good luck, and may the good news be yours.